And we'll move to our fourth case this morning, which is McFields versus Dart. All right, we have one lawyer, but not two. Mr. Branham, are you with us? Here you go. All right. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you, Your Honor.
All right. Mr. Flaxman, welcome. Go ahead.
Thank you, Your Honor. May it please the court. The standard of care in correctional dentistry is to respond to any complaint of dental pain with a face-to-face evaluation by a registered nurse or a higher-level practitioner. The plaintiffs in this case contend that defendants failed to meet that standard. Instead of a face-to-face evaluation, defendants relied on a paper triage where someone, could be a registered nurse, could be a dental assistant, would read a written health service request form, a complaint of dental pain, and decide how serious the complaint was. This is a problematic procedure. I think we can all agree that people who find themselves at the jail are often not articulate in their written communications. The theory of plaintiff's case is that the paper triage policy resulted in gratuitous pain. A registered nurse or a higher level practitioner could prescribe over-the-counter pain medication. A registered nurse or a higher level practitioner could assess the seriousness of the complaint and see that people who had serious problems received prompt dental treatment sooner than people who had routine or even non-existent problems. We sought to maintain the case as a class action. The common question that we proposed was whether the failure to conduct the face-to-face evaluation is objectively unreasonable and resulted in a denial of the pretrial detainee's 14th Amendment right to medical and dental care. The district court said that this was an improper common question because, in his view, we would not win. If we prove that there was a policy of not doing face-to-face evaluations, we would lose on the merits. That's not the standard that this court has applied in reviewing class certification rulings. Judge Conte might remember a case where there was a similar claim about not having a face-to-face evaluation. That was the Phillips case, where the plaintiffs framed their common question in terms of a 24-hour rule for a face-to-face assessment of a written complaint of dental pain. This case does not have that 24-hour rule or any time limit at all. It just asserts that there is no face-to-face evaluation and seeks to litigate whether that claim is common to the class. And it is common to the class. And if the plaintiffs win or lose on that, it will drive the outcome of the litigation. In Driver versus Marion County Sheriff, there was a question about 72 hours of delay in people being released. And the court agreed that that was a common question because the policy caused them people to be detained for an unconstitutional, unreasonable length of time. I would love to answer questions, but otherwise I'll keep going, or I can stand for questions and rely on the written submissions.
I thought the claim here was keyed to a timing requirement. I thought the allegation was that the standard of care requires evaluation within 48 hours.
No, there's absolutely no time requirement in this case. We have learned from Phillips and from Harper that talking about time limits is the kiss of death to a common question. This is about the total absence of a face-to-face evaluation, the substitution of a paper triage for the face-to-face evaluation. And it so could be...
But that time limit was part of your original claim, but you've modified it since then to...
It wasn't in the original claim. It was the original claim in the Phillips case, but in this case, in the amended complaint and in the class motion, we didn't talk about 24 hours. We just talked about the policy of not doing a paper, of not doing a face-to-face and doing a paper triage.
But your original certification proposal in your complaint had the 48 hours reference, but that was omitted in your ultimate motion for a certification?
That's correct.
Okay. So that's just dropped out now.
This is a Latin phrase for no longer being operative, but I don't remember the Latin phrase, but that's not part of our case. There's no 48-hour claim or a 3-hour claim or a 24-hour claim. There's just a claim that they don't do it. And I think Judge St. Eve had a similar situation when she was a district court judge about people who were who went to court and the judge said, you can be, this case is over, you shall be released. And the claim in that case was, well, it took too long to release people. Judge St. Eve said, that can't be a class, that can't be a common question. The plaintiffs, and it wasn't me, then reframed their claim to talk about the procedure that the sheriff followed in bringing people back to the jail from the court, and the district court said that could be a class, that could proceed as a class. And that's what we're doing.
I just want to be clear here. Are you claiming a systemic deficiency claim here as opposed to an individual claim or individualized claims?
It's a systemic claim.
It's only systemic.
We've identified at least 6,000, we've estimated there are at least 6,000 people who made a written complaint of dental pain and did not receive a face-to-face assessment. That's systemic. And we'd have to prove systemic for it to be a, to get Monell liability against the sheriff, as I recall. If there are no further questions, I would.
Counsel, do you have any, are there any cases that address that sort of face-to-face assessment universally?
No, there are no cases assessing that. There are policies, and the Federal Bureau of Prisons mandates a face-to-face evaluation by the registered nurse or higher-level practitioner, and their rule says do it within 24 hours. But that, I think the standard of care, we assert and we could prove with competent evidence, is that there be a face-to-face assessment. You can't rely on people who are not very articulate, don't have good written communication skills, or if they do have good written communication skills, would likely exaggerate about the extent of their dental pain. You have to look in the mouth. And looking in the mouth allows the nurse or the higher level practitioner to say, this guy should go to the emergency room. He has an abscess. He might die if he doesn't get treated. Instead, somebody looks at the papers and says, well, this is, dentists can see him in 30 days. And
doesn't Cook like County it, have a face-to-face policy now?
Oh, they do. The monitor in the Cripple litigation found that starting in 2018, they had finally started to apply that policy. And I don't know if that's true or not, but that's our proposed ending date for the class when the monitor said they're now complying with their written policy. I thank the court.
All right. Thank you, Mr. Branham. You're still muted, Mr. Brannon, or Branham, I'm sorry. You're still muted, Mr. Branham. There you go.
May it please the court. Samuel Branham on behalf of appellees Cook County and Sheriff Dart. This court should affirm the district court's denial of class certification for two reasons. First, the district court correctly applied the law when it found that Rule 23's commonality, typicality, and predominance requirements were not met. Second, as addressed in our brief, appellant is not an adequate representative for a properly pleaded class under the applicable 2-year statute of limitations. I will be focusing my oral argument on the first issue. Under the 14th Amendment to the U.S. Constitution, Pretrial detainees are guaranteed the right to adequate medical care, including adequate dental care. The 14th Amendment, however, does not mandate that a detainee receive a face-to-face evaluation by a nurse or a higher-level practitioner prior to receiving dental treatment or being evaluated by a dentist. Appellant is asking this court to view the alleged policy regarding face-to-face assessments in a vacuum and to ignore the treatment provided by dentists at the jail. Under appellant's theory of the case, a detainee could submit a health service request form, receive treatment by a dentist the same day, and could still recover damages simply because a face-to-face assessment by a nurse did not occur prior to receiving treatment. Appellant's argument that the face-to-face assessment should be considered to the exclusion of the overall treatment received is a flawed argument. As the district court correctly found, a lack of a face-to-face assessment can be a constitutional violation only to the extent it results in inadequate dental care, and whether a detainee received inadequate dental care must be considered from the totality of facts and circumstances. The lack of a face-to-face assessment is only one fact to consider in the overall analysis of whether a detainee received adequate dental care. Because it is only one fact to consider, and one that is not particularly helpful in the overall analysis, resolving the question regarding face-to-face assessments does not drive resolution of the litigation. Therefore, the commonality requirement is not met. In assessing whether a detainee received adequate dental care, other facts must be considered, including the nature of the individual's complaint, the nature of the treatment provided, the timing of the treatment, any history relevant to the individual, and so on. Because the question regarding face-to-face assessments does not drive resolution of the litigation, and because resolution of the litigation turns primarily on facts and circumstances specific to each individual, the predominance requirement is not met. Finally, far from establishing that appellant's claim is typical of the class claims, appellant has not even established that his claim is typical of the claims of the other three named plaintiffs. Other than McField's, the dental issues experienced by the other named plaintiffs are not clear in the record. The four named plaintiffs' claims also reflect varying wait times for treatment that are calculated differently. Accordingly, appellant failed to meet his burden to establish that his claims share the same essential characteristics as the claims of the class at large. Appellant alleged in his complaint not that he received no dental treatment, but that he experienced a delay in treatment. Appellant alleged that he experienced gratuitous pain from the time he submitted an HSRF to the time a dentist alleviated the pain by extracting a tooth. Although delayed treatment may constitute inadequate dental care, a delay in treatment is not a factor that is either always or never significant. Instead, the amount of time that is reasonable must be assessed considering the individual's dental condition, the ease of the treatment provided, and other relevant factors, such as whether the individual refused any treatment or evaluation, and whether the individual received palliative care in the interim. For instance, an individual could complain of pain stemming from a variety of dental conditions, such as gingivitis, a loose tooth, cavities, or an infection. An individual could complain of pain, but what is really meant is sensitivity to hot and cold liquids. An individual could write on a form that he is in pain, yet be completely healthy with no dental condition at all. These individual assessments would need to be made to determine whether the timing of treatment was reasonable in an individual case. Borrowing an analogy from the Supreme Court in Lewis v. Casey, a healthy inmate who suffers no deprivation of needed dental treatment cannot claim a violation of his constitutional right to dental care simply on the ground that he did not receive a face-to-face assessment. Based on appellant's theory of the case, a healthy inmate could recover damages simply because he did not receive a face-to-face assessment after submitting an HSRF in which he falsely claimed dental pain. Because appellant seeks to hold liable only local government entities, his claim is governed by Monell, and he must prove three elements: that he suffered a deprivation of a federal right as a result of a local government's policy, which was the proximate cause of his injury. As this court pointed out in King v. Kramer, the question of whether there existed a policy or custom is distinct from the question of whether the plaintiff presents a cognizable constitutional injury. Appellant conflates his allegation of a policy, the lack of a face-to-face assessment, with his allegation of a constitutional injury, inadequate or delayed dental care. As the district court correctly found, whether a detainee received inadequate or delayed dental care is an individual assessment. The district court correctly applied the law and did not abuse its discretion when it denied appellant's motion for class certification. For these reasons, this court should affirm the district court's decision and affirm the district court's entry of judgment in favor of appellees. If there's any questions, I'd be happy to answer them.
Hearing none, I thank you, Mr. Branham.
Thank you, Your Honors.
Mr. Flaxman, you had some time left. If there's anything else you'd like to say.
Well, I'd like to clarify a question that was answered to a question. The original complaint and the amended complaint both had a 48-hour period, which came from the written rule of the jail. The motion for class certification dropped the 48-hour period, and that motion was framed just in terms of, is there or is there not a face-to-face evaluation?
Thank you.
The arguments about the other named plaintiffs is probably not a good argument because they're not in the case. They settled without reserving any right to appeal, so they're no longer in this case. This is Mr. McFields, who properly preserved his right to appeal the denial of class certification. I thank the court for its attention.
All right. Thank you very much. Our thanks to both counsel. The case is